Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
All aboard the grace train. It's the Growing in Grace podcast. I'm Joel Brzezinski with Mike Kepler, the weekly podcast. You know, I'm part of a group on Facebook. It's Christian Podcasters. It's kind of a neat group, but it's interesting to see how people go about their podcast. You know, some of them do it by seasons. They do so many episodes per seasons, and then they give themselves a break, and then they come back and do some more, or they ask, should I do, you know, continuous? Like, obviously, we've been doing basically continuous weekly podcasts for 20 years here on the Growing in Grace podcast, and everybody's different. That's the beauty of this thing. Nowadays, anybody can do a podcast. All you need is a microphone, and make sure you don't drop it, because before we got started recording today, you told me, Cap, that you had dropped your mic, and I said that was a drop the mic moment. Just get yourself a microphone and talk into it, and you can find out ways how to get it out there. But everybody does it differently. Everybody in the body of Christ has different things to say. Obviously, we've been talking about the love and the grace of God for many years, and it's what we love doing. So that's what we do. I don't know why I brought that up, but I just thought it was interesting. I think I just mainly wanted to say that we're all different. You don't have to be like somebody else, and you don't have to compare yourself to anybody else. I think sometimes people get stuck in that mindset. I know that a lot of times I think pastors and people who have more of an evangelical mind, more of an evangelistic mind, they tend to think that everybody needs to be like them, witnessing and doing all the things that they do. If you're really zealous about something that God has called you to do, I think many people tend to pressure other people to do the same things. You don't have to do the same things that somebody else does if that's not you, if that's not the way that God has wired and gifted you. So that little, hopefully that's a little bit of encouragement for somebody as they listen to our podcast. What's going on with Mike Kepler?
Well, Joel, that was a good word right there. Yeah, I'm all in with that. We've been talking about forgiveness the last couple of weeks. Let's proceed with this and go a step further, even though we alluded to some of this a couple of weeks ago, probably. Joel, there's so many people out there who wonder if they're forgiven, who wonder where they stand with God. They're not comfortable. You know, a lot of people, they'll just kind of go hide in the corner, go hide in the bushes like Adam, you know, hide from God because they just don't even want to think about it because they feel guilty. They've done some things wrong. They've perceived this as some sort of religion that's about doing instead of a good news gospel of being. See, the gospel is really not about right doing. It's about right being. Right doing is all good, but it's not really what the foundation of the gospel is based upon. And so there are so many people, I've watched this for years and years, dealt with people who were struggling with this for years and years. And I dealt with it myself, although not nearly as bad as what I've seen some other people struggling with. And that is wondering where you're at with God, not understanding that God has done everything necessary for us in what was done through Christ Jesus. And so we're suffering because we don't know. It's called ignorance. Ignorance to me always seems like a nasty word, almost an insulting word, kind of an ugly word, but it's really not meant to be. I don't know. It sounds that way to me. When we say ignorant, it just sounds like an insulting word.
I think people have used it in an insulting way when it's not really meant to be. Like the word argument, there's nothing wrong with it just means presenting reasons for or against a thing, but yet people, when they argue, that sometimes they get mean. But so ignorance, yeah, it just means not knowing.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
yeah, because you're not ignorant.
I don't know about that.
Well, then you anyway, are ignorant if you don't know.
Enough of this. But ignorance is causing people to suffer needlessly. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Christian people who have been made alive in Christ, who don't know. They struggle with this, and it shouldn't be that way. Romans 8:1. Now, a lot was said in Romans chapter 7. You can tell that because Paul starts out with the word therefore. But there is no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We'll come back to that. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, those old stone tablets, God did what the law couldn't do. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, a human being, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Well, we're not in the flesh, Paul would go on to say. And some people think just walking in the flesh or walking according to the flesh is doing sinful stuff. But Paul pointed out to the Galatians in chapter 3 that they were trying to make themselves right with God by doing things. And they were walking according to the flesh and not to the Spirit. People who had received the Spirit freely began to get tangled up in the flesh of doing to try to make themselves acceptable to God. So the flesh doesn't just mean sin. It can bring people to the place of, well, after a couple chapters after Galatians 3, Paul talked about somebody who has fallen from grace. Now, we've run into people over the years who just think they've fallen from grace. They just feel like they've fallen from grace, and their reasons may differ a little bit, but Paul's point was, you've fallen from grace when you proceed to try to clean yourself up and do things that will make yourself more acceptable to God through works. And so a lot of people have the misconception of what falling from grace means. So with that in mind, Joel, I want to encourage people out there, because the law, the stone tablets, the rules of commandments and rituals and all kinds of different things contained within a law of works or a modernized version of it that comes from many of our churches, that is the ministry of condemnation. And we've been delivered from that. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 3, the stone tablet ministry, all of it, all 613 rules, commandments, and statutes, all of it was the ministry of death and condemnation. God delivered us from the ministry of condemnation. And this is important for people to understand. So how do you overcome it? You don't. You just realize Jesus did for you.
Yeah, and it's it's all by his grace. And grace, you know, if it's by grace, then it can't be by something that we've done. It's by what God has done. It's all by what God has done. You know, you're talking about Romans 8:1, and you said that Paul has obviously said a bunch of stuff before that. And I'm looking at Romans 5:1, where again, we know that Paul has said a bunch of stuff before, because he also starts off with therefore. he has a lot of therefores. Paul makes, it's a side note here, but Paul makes a lot of points. He has a lot of therefores. And a lot of times, in order to see what he's saying in a certain place, you have to wait till you get to the therefore, because sometimes the point isn't actually made in what he's saying. Like Romans 2, where Paul says that it's those who are the doers of the law who are justified. If you just take that by itself, you'll think, well, the doers. It's not the hearers, it's the doers of the law who are justified. But then a chapter or so later, he says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. So you have to follow Paul all the way through. But in cases like this, we can understand. Here's his point in Romans 5:1. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. It's grace in which we stand. It's not grace that's, well, we maybe it's here, maybe it's not, but it's permanent. God's grace in our life is something we stand in. We stand firmly in it. And so, yeah, those who have fallen from grace, when we read Paul's words in Galatians 5:4, it is, like you said, it's those people who had, they had come to Christ, no law involved, no works involved, simply by faith. It was just like, by faith. They had been far off from God, and then they had been brought near by the blood of Jesus and by nothing that they had done. And then some people came in. Basically, there were Jewish people who were zealous for the law, and they were saying that these people had to keep the law. They had to do works of the law in order to further perfect the flesh, in order to be justified. And Paul's coming in and saying, this is what Paul had to fight against in a large part of his ministry. These people who were trying to add works to the lives of people in Christ. And he said, you have become, to the Galatians, in Galatians 5:4, he said, you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. Now, that word estranged, it's not a word, his whole point here, because if you read the entire epistle, he's not saying that they don't have Christ anymore. He's not saying they've lost their salvation. When he's saying that you've become estranged from Christ, I think the NIV or one of the versions says, Christ has become of no effect to you. It's not that Christ is gone. It's not that he's missing. It's not that they no longer have him. It's just that they're not experiencing the fullness of that grace. They're not experiencing the fullness of Christ because instead of trusting in him and his work and what he has done, and his grace, they're attempting to be justified by what they do. And so their eyes are on themselves. Their eyes are on the flesh. Their eyes are on what they can do to be justified and to keep themselves right with God. So he says, those are the people. You have fallen from grace. And again, it's not that grace is no longer a thing for them. It's just that they're not experiencing the grace that they can experience. And so, just before he says that, at the beginning of Galatians 5, Paul says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. That's the New King James, or ESV, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore. See, you know, the grace is there for us to stand in. It's always there. It's there. It's never been taken away from us. Just stand firm in it because it's there. And do not submit again to a yoke of slavery or bondage, because that it is. That is bondage. If you are basing your relationship with God upon your works, whether you're forgiven or not, whether you've gone too far, whether you've done too many bad things, always wondering, am I forgiven? Am I right with God? Is everything okay between me and God? That's putting a focus on what you do and what you think and whether you've confessed enough, whether you've asked for forgiveness enough, whether you've done enough, whether you've sinned too much or whatever, rather than resting in the grace of God and the fact that you've been brought near to him, not by what you do, but by the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, because if it's up to us, if it's up to you, you're standing with God, overcoming guilt and condemnation, all these things. If it's up to us, then we don't need Christianity. We can subscribe to any one of any other thousands of religions who are depending upon their efforts, their behavior, their changes in their life that they're going to make to try to clean themselves up. Jesus is the reason that we are able to approach God without fear, with confidence. We don't depend on confidence based on our performance, right? So the Holy Spirit, you know, if you can't because I've had people say this too. I hear everything you're telling me, but I still struggle with guilt and condemnation. Well, okay. So maybe now is a good time to allow, you know, since the Bible verses may not be helping you the way that you would like, maybe it's time to let the Holy Spirit help you. Because I'm still amazed, Joel, we've talked about this, but I'm still amazed at sometimes how we take the Bible off the shelf and seem to let it surpass the Spirit of God while putting Him on the shelf. So let the Spirit of God testify to you and to convict you of His righteousness, to remind you, to bear witness to you that you are indeed a child of God, that you are completely clean, that God remembers sins no more. And these things, once you begin to realize them from within, then you can proceed with a very joyful life, a very fruitful life, as God works His life in and through us.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.